Good morning and welcome to the Crawford Stewardship Podcast. I'm your host, Joseph Childs, and today we are sitting down with Rob Danielson, Jay McCluskey, and Emil Smith to discuss the newly proposed Maribel High Capacity Transmission Line that is proposed to come through Crawford, Vernon, and parts of Richland County. You are listening today to WDRT 91.9 FM. You can find this show along with many other great archival episodes on WDRT.org. So, Jay, Rob, and Emil, thanks for joining us today.
Good morning.
Jay and Emil, you two are affected landowners that you know that would be in the path of this newly proposed transmission line, and we've got Rob in here that's very knowledgeable about the subject, and we were hoping that you could ask some questions that maybe other landowners might have, and you yourself may have. And Rob is a great wealth of knowledge, so he'll do his best to answer that. But first, I want to start off by just asking Jay and Emil to talk a little bit about how they found out about this transmission proposal, and then their experience so far, or if they've been contacted from the proposers. So, Jay, if you want to go ahead and start us off.
Yeah, last week, my wife and I were at home and had a woman come to our door and present an agreement, survey agreement, wanting us to sign this to allow them to survey our land for this project, for the 765 kilovolt ultra-high voltage line, and which she said would, she gave us that statistic that it was 765 replacing the 161 kilovolt line behind us. I told her that I'm not going to begin to sign anything before I've had a chance to read it, and so she'd have to come back. But I did let her know I was familiar, I'd heard about this project and was not supportive of it. And her response to that was, well, most of your neighbors are signing and it's going to happen anyway. And well, we can just do eminent domain to be able to survey your land.
Kind of interesting. They were offering you $500 for it.
Oh, it's in the contract. It's in the contract.
Yeah, but we'll do eminent domain anyway, or whatever,
right.
You know.
Yeah, why do they want to give me $500 if they're going to do eminent domain anyway?
No big deal.
Well, so since then, I discovered that indeed they cannot declare eminent domain on our land to be able to conduct a survey. They can only declare eminent domain on the land after the Public Service Commission has approved the project, and which would be a several-year thing, and that would be only after a certificate of public convenience and necessity had been also approved and submitted to the Public Service Commission. So that statement was incorrect completely, and I considered it to be highly coercive, intended to just make me cave in and sign.
A bit rude.
We would not, and really rather rude. And so we didn't sign. Now, I did not record the conversation. I didn't know what I was walking into. I wish that I had recorded that conversation in 2020 hindsight. So after this woman left, I called my neighbor Emil, who had told me about this project several months ago, let him know that they had showed up at my doorstep and what had happened.
You'd gotten a little visit. I think it's important also for people to know that the easement that they're approaching Jay for is not an existing easement. It's an easement they're going to have to require in order to put in a larger transmission line. Such a large transmission line will require another 100 feet. So they will encroach on Jay's land. They do have to ask for a survey.
Just to clarify that, Emil, Jay, right now the line doesn't go onto your property, but very close, and with this new corridor widening, that would actually push that onto your land. So even folks that don't have a land that is affected by this could possibly be affected?
What we're finding and what we're seeing right now is that Doyle is visiting the people that don't have easements that will need to have, that they will need to have. The power company will need new easements. I'll start by saying I accidentally stumbled into this information that Maribel was going to take place. They kindly asked me online if I'd like to take a survey based on their new power line. And out of curiosity, I said yes and got the 10 questions. And from a sociologist's perspective, not a woodworker's perspective, questionnaires are typically very carefully worded. And this was obviously a very carefully worded survey. But predominantly, all the questions were, would you be more or less likely to oppose this if you knew this about the line? Would you be more or less likely to vigorously oppose this if you knew, oh, that the line was going to be executed on an existing route? What they don't tell you or don't ask you, you know, in that survey is if you knew that we were going to have to expand our easement, double it, and that we were going to exceed 45 or 50 foot heights to maybe as high as 150 feet. They don't mention that in the survey. Would you be more or less likely to vigorously oppose this if you were going to have monster ugly towers in your backyard? The reason I'm an affected landowner isn't because of an easement situation per se, but definitely a sacrificial position that my family will be in that my western view will be well over a mile of this new transmission line. Now, the existing line we do see from our living room view, but only bits and pieces. It comes to below the horizon occasionally, almost never comes above the horizon, and we only see the transmission line with the correct lighting. And but as you start to discover the view, you start to realize, oh, I can see that high line for well over a mile. And we're within a corner of that high line where it comes from the north from Genoa and takes a left at Kettle Hollow and runs east to Bell Center. So my property just happens to have a very serious amount of this line in view where there was no line in view before, period. What we're really hoping for is a way, Rob, to find a mediation point. We don't expect to trip Goliath up super hard here. In fact, in a lot of ways, like Jay being told, well, we'll just eminent domain. Nobody feels like getting steamrolled on this. I certainly don't. But we do have to recognize the benefits to everybody and the needs of people that use electricity in our rural area. We're highly benefited from a great electric co-op, Dairyland Power, and everybody else who's out there on a daily, monthly, yearly basis making power more accessible to us here in this region. I don't take that lightly, and I do need to have net metered power. I do need to have my equipment running like so many other small businesses out here. And so what, from a technical and engineering standpoint, what I really want to know is what are the alternatives to 765 kilovolts? I mean, that's more power than they've dumped into the state and across the state anywhere. This is a whole new level of ultra high voltage line. Why here? Why now? And is there an elephant in the room that no one's talking about? Help me.
Well, I guess we have sufficiently extended ourselves over our skis and we're now tumbling downhill. First of all, I recognize in your tone is that you are describing it as a done deal.
I think that there are powers out there who want you to feel like it's a done deal. I certainly feel like if I'm gonna have to arm wrestle Goliath, I'm gonna poke him in the eye somewhere along the line first. But I don't want to do that. I need the power company. I want the power company.
I've been attending utility planning meetings for basically the last 14 years, and I understand the scope of the basis in which that planning is done. I understand some of the key assumptions that are made. I understand alternatives, I worked with some of the best electrical engineers in the country in the area of alternatives. These are all things that we can discuss. But I would, if we were at my town recycling center and we were not on the air and we were having discussions about what experiences people are having, the first thing that I would say is do not use the word will when the word would is appropriate. This is not a done deal, and I can outline a whole bunch of reasons that this is not a done deal. I share the frustration of waking up in the morning and looking in the mirror and realizing, oh my God, this is my life, this is my land, this is my love, this is my community, and here I sit with this obligation, emotional, technical, political, you name it. I'll give you one example. Wisconsin, it's a consumer protection, it's actually under the Department of Agriculture, requires or highly recommends that any developer of any project of any kind, before they begin even asking questions or carrying on conversations with potentially impacted parties, present them with a written description of the project. Did the person who visited your houses present you with any written information about the proposal?
None.
Okay. So if I put myself in your situation or have the luxury of telling and helping my neighbors understand that this situation exists, first thing I would say is, great, welcome. Would you like to come in, have a seat, or would you rather talk outside? So before we do that, before we start talking, I would like to have a written description of the proposal. Okay? Mm-hmm. The other thing that is there is that the word would go on my land, would do this, or whatever has been tossed around. That is not an arbitrary factor. There, in Wisconsin law, any utility that uses personal land for public convenience must issue that land owner an easement, which defines the rights of the landowner as well as the rights of the utility. We're in a bit of a dilemma here because the only thing that really matters in one sense is what the wording of that existing document is, okay? If I'm sitting there with the person who's come to visit me, I would say, wow, that's interesting. Have you got a copy of the easement on my property that I can look at? If they had neither of those items, I would be very cautious and say, how about I'll send you an email after our discussion today, and I will ask you for a written description. Sorry about that. A written description for this about the project, and I will ask you for copies of all of the pertinent documents pertaining to accessing my land. Okay, then I'll read over those things and I'll get back to you and figure out what the next step is. I would also be aware of the fact that the developers of this project have announced in July of this year that they are conducting public outreach to get information and encourage landowners and local governments and state agencies to participate in that process. And to the best of my knowledge, your story today about being approached by an independent contractor is the first word that I have heard of Dairyland or Next Era Transmission conducting the actual information and process that they described that they were already doing mm-hmm. in July of 2025.
So you're helping us take a little of the emotion back out of it for us. I discovered the publicishness of the survey was their part of their reaching
out. Let me stop you there.
Sure.
The risk of, okay, what in legal parlance is what we're basically discussing, right? Mm-hmm. There's a huge difference between what someone says and what is actually written. So that's why we've asked for written documentation up front to just simply digest what the situation is.
Yes.
Taking something that someone says, whether it's the mention of a survey, I don't care if it's whatever it is, that's not accountable information. There are options for people without the best intentions to actually raise topics and discuss things that are not actually relevant.
Look over here while
we all want to be maybe detectives. We all want to interpret and read between the lines, and that's not a wise thing to do, in my opinion. At the point that you have the documents and you realize the severity or whatever, the first thing I would do is to find out who's good, who's experienced in this topic, which would likely be a lawyer, and to proceed slowly and carefully and be very cautious about overreading things that are said to you and moving strategically in some direction, feeling that you're in charge of it.
That seems like the sensible thing to do is just gathering as much information. As a landowner, you know that an easement on your property isn't exactly a small thing. So, you know, instead of signing and taking $500 if it's even offered, then, you know, getting more information is just a no-brainer for me. This is a great conversation. I know, you know, having someone in here that can answer questions is really nice for the landowners here. But we do have to take a quick station break to talk about WDRT. You're listening to the WDRT radio station, 91.9 FM. You can find this episode of the Crawford Stewardship Podcast on WDRT.org, along with many other great archival episodes of many other podcasts as well. Today, we're sitting down here with Rob Danielson, Jay McCluskey, and Emil Smith. Jay and Emil are two affected landowners of the newly proposed Maribel Transmission Line, which would be the largest transmission line in the state of Wisconsin that is proposed to come through Vernon, Crawford, and parts of Richland County. So you discussed with Emil about, you know, using language such as will and maybe feeling a little bit defeated, and, you know, it can be an emotional thing. This is people's land that we're talking about. Oftentimes this is a person's lifetime investment. This is how, you know, they might retire and go live in Arizona or something, or leave the legacy to their children. So this isn't this isn't just someone's bank account. This is their entire lifetime legacy that can be affected. And, you know, through work with Crawford Stewardship Project, it's oftentimes where you might feel a little helpless. And as a single landowner, I could imagine the idea of, you know, who am I to stand up to this entity that wants to put in this, you know, this transmission line. But there are folks out there that are also feeling the same thing, and oftentimes getting together with those folks is a great way to at least bounce ideas off each other or commiserate or just to get some support in this.
Well, going back to what you're talking about, Rob, and what you're talking about, will versus what, it's interesting that my first personal contact with anyone associated with Maribel, when I express my concern about it, makes the statement, this is going to happen anyway.
Really made me wonder what that person, did that person have a personal interest in the success of this proposal?
Well, I don't know.
Why would anybody ever come to your door and say something
but
like that?
But the other interesting thing, that what I did immediately after she left, is I called down to the county and I got copies of all the easements on my property. Because I wanted to verify that they did not have an easement if they had an easement for the 161 kilovolt line, because what was especially concerning is she did show up with a map, kind of a Google map, of my property showing the area they wanted to survey, which was nowhere near the 161 kilovolt line. It was right in the middle of where our homes are located, and did include, I realized as I looked back at it, the easement that occurs for Scenic Rivers to bring the single power line down to power our homes.
Yeah, explosive emotions running through your head at that time, I'm sure.
Well, and then I'm thinking, are they going to try and put a 765-kilovolt line down our electric cut?
And I had that same emotional explosion when I looked out my western view and realized that I've been building a business and growing a family and building a home with a mile of what is being proposed will be fully in view, not on 45 or 50 foot towers, but on potentially 145 to 150 foot towers. It will utterly alter the landscape. Let's just put it like this: 150 foot towers are big anywhere. Drag them across or step them across the landscape where it's never existed before, and there's going to be some emotion tied to this. And so I had to pull myself back off of that cliff, change the wheels to maize, and that this is a proposal. It's not a done deal. That's very important to remember so that I can then turn and focus on more of these engineering feats, these engineering capabilities that can be done but maybe shouldn't be done, or maybe there are alternatives. Maybe we know that one of the things that the power company that owns and operates these lines now says that these lines were built in the 50s, and we can see quite clearly that's different than new towers that are generally built out of steel. And there have to be alternatives. Hey, let's bring that kilo voltage down while we're going through the, what is really kind of the last territory of pristine area. Let's tone it back down. Yeah, we agree. We like our electric company, and we want to see the renovation take place. We want to see increased reliability, potential lower costs, but please don't frost this with it'll be green energy to the local farmers.
So, Rob, if I were a landowner and someone came to me, someone came up and wanted to offer me $500 for the survey, or I was an affected landowner that already has a 161 kilovolt line or nearby, I didn't know anything about it prior to this, what is the first thing that I should do when they close the door of their car and I can't see their taillights anymore at the end of my driveway? What is the next step after a first contact?
Well, you've asked for the description of the proposal written, and you've asked for documentation pertaining to easements and so forth.
So I didn't do that during the – I was kind of in shock. I didn't do that during the meeting.
Excellent. At that point, I would consult a lawyer, frankly, because as has been discussed, the stakes are high. And I would get advice from the lawyer about the possibilities that exist for you. I would, being in a situation where I see my property potentially directly impacted, it's appropriate for me to ask for documentation from the applicant.
Is there anyone else that... Is there any other information that maybe that, like a county, or do I ask my neighbor what should I do outside of contacting the power company for more information about the project? Who are other folks that I should be contacting?
Well, you should go to your town meetings and discuss what you're learning with your elected officials. You should meet with your neighbors and see what their impressions are and the information that they're gathering. But coming back to the concrete thing that I can do is that I would like to see some detailed maps of the potential, first of all, showing the existing transmission facility across my property, the extents of the easement for that existing easement. And then I also would like to see the proposal of the infrastructure relative to that information.
So a before and after, essentially. And who would I ask that of?
Would directly contact the applicants at the email address that they should have provided you. And I would make that a written formal request. I might send a copy of that to my town board so they're aware of this interest and information. I might send a copy of that to other elected officials that I think that are interesting, just to sort of point out that this is information that's important to you. Until that kind of documentation is provided, you're pretty much guessing at what all the situations are.
Right.
And since the time that you have as a landowner to influence this in any substantial way is between now and some point next year when the application goes into the Public Service Commission, that's important information to acquire right now. If I did not do that in writing, like you say, the day after this happened, and I knew that this kind of information would be important to me, I would maybe do that in the context of the upcoming public information meetings that have been discussed. I understand that Jay has some important information on that to relay.
Yes. When I spoke with the project manager for the land survey company, Doyle Land Survey, named Marcus, he informed me that there is an information meeting in Westby on November 20th at the Westby Community Center. No, I lost the address. Here we go, 2026 North Main Street, from 4 to 6 p.m. on November 20th.
And that's an informational meeting regarding this transmission project.
Regarding this Maribel. They're going to have more detailed information, supposedly. Opportunity for us to ask questions, get information, and it would seem that anybody who could be affected by this or doesn't like the idea of this should be attending that meeting.
I agree, and I think that people might not realize that not attending the meeting makes a statement, too.
They are not publicly disclosing
But the format, it, hopefully this will change, is that it will be the topics or the areas of concern will be divided up into booths, and people will go to ask those specialist questions one-on-one and wait in line to ask the questions. Sometimes that can be organized in such a way that you ask your questions loud and people can hear you, and there can be every the questions and so forth that can improve on that. But what most people expect in a big decision like this is that there'll be a public hearing format where questions can be told, everybody can hear them. But more important, and you get the theme here, is that you cannot act as a landowner without the information that I just described. If the developer decides that, for whatever reason, that you're not going to get this information, that puts you at great disadvantage. Mm-hmm. So if you hear this podcast and you're concerned about that, one of the questions that pops into my brain is that are the developers aware that this information is important to landowners? And do they plan on presenting this? I've gone to public hearings where they take directly impacted landowners off to the side and show them maps and detail and print all of that information out for them so they leave that meeting with that information.
I would maybe even go, we don't have much time here, but maybe just a little wrap up. I would maybe even go so far as to say having that information as a single landowner is valuable, but one single well-informed landowner does not a decision changer make. If you have this information, you've gone through it, and it seems like Jay, you and Emil are a little bit more well-informed and diving a little deeper than I believe the average landowner would be at this point. But talking with your neighbors, making sure others are informed, even if they aren't directly affected landowners, we are a small community here in Crawford County, and it's going to affect everyone somehow. So just talking about it with other folks, talking about it with your local government is an extremely important step in this. You cannot be in this alone, and you are not in this alone. So reaching out and just talking with other folks and informing others is a huge part. We do have to wrap up here. This has been the Crawford Stewardship Podcast. I'm your host, Joseph Childs, and today I sat down with Jay McCluskey, Rob Danielson, and Emil Smith. Jay and Emil are affected landowners that would be directly affected by the Maribel transmission line, and Rob did his best to try and answer some questions. We will continue this series with another episode soon. Thank you very much for listening. Bye.